Welcome back to the Mind and Fitness Podcast. As you listen to this, it is Wednesday, April the 1st, and I am somewhere in Tokyo right now. So these interviews this week and next week, pre-recorded before I left, but let me give you a very enthusiastic hello from the land of the rising sun, which is where I am right now. Now, before I get started, I want to make sure that I thank the patrons of the show. I've done quite a few bonus content videos for the people over there, for the nice folks over there, over the last couple of weeks. It's been kind of fun, just sort of, you know, day in the life, background, what am I doing, what am I working on? I did one on Friday night, I did one last Wednesday, I did one last Monday, I did one from the weekend before. So, yeah, it's not TMS-specific stuff, but it's more, you know, behind the scenes stuff. But let me, again, patreon.com/themindandfitnesspodcast, throw a few bucks in the tip jar and hey, you'll get some bonus video content for it. Mliss, Sylvester, Katie, wait, hold on one second. Okay, let me revise my list here. Mliss, Carolyn, Justin, Mary, Teresa, Albert, Jeff, Julie, Deborah, Elise, Dominic, John, Jason, Irina, Tony, Michael, Christina, Brian, Sarah, Arnie, and Barb. Thank you all for continuing to support this podcast. A couple of you going back like 8 years, which is crazy. So thank you for being here. Okay, today's interview, friend of the show, Jeannie Colwin, is back, and she is venturing out into TMS group coaching. And so we dive deeply into that. What are the benefits of doing group coaching versus individual coaching? Why did she venture into this? How do you do it? You can find her on all the socials at Jeannie Colwin Coaching. Launch a new YouTube channel and then her website, jeanniecolwin.com, and make sure that you check out all those links in the show notes. Without further ado, here's Jeannie and I. Welcome back to the Mind and Fitness Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Eddie Lindenstein. Welcome to April. It is April 1st, which means it's April Fool's, but this is a real interview. I don't know how many times it is. Usually I can say a returning guest or for the second time or something like that, but friend of the show, Jeannie Colwin, is back for like, I don't know, the fifth time or sixth time or something like that. Welcome back.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
So we started talking not long ago about you coming back and being on here. And I know that in the last few months, you attended the PPDA conference that was out in Boulder. And you're venturing into the world of doing some group coaching stuff. And I've had some people on that have sort of talked about that kind of concept. You've been doing the one-on-one coaching for a long time. And you've done the group coaching, but in kind of a different area. And so I'm interested to kind of get some of your perspective on that. A lot of the people that I've interviewed know you, or they've heard of you. And like Paulina Sobel was the guest last week doing the PPDA or trying to PPDA doing the PR, she was talking about the PRT book for teens. And so thank you for that introduction. Group coaching, talk about this. It's a big undertaking. Tell me about it.
Yeah, well, I'm really excited about it. I've done group coaching before in stress coaching. So this is my first group coaching cohort. So it's going to be really organic and I'm just really excited about it. So I think part of the reason I'm doing it, obviously, is that as you're doing one-on-one, as you know, Eddie, you have limited time, right? You can only take on so many clients. Group coaching is more cost-effective, obviously, and there's so many benefits. So I just wanted to first share that I've done, I always tell people I'm like the product of good coaching. I've done one-on-one coaching, you know, been the receiver and also group coaching. And one of my first group coaching cohorts that I was in really changed my life. And I got so much benefit, not even from sharing from it. So it was like 6 years ago before I started coaching. I mean, we've talked about this, how I was terrified to be on social media. I remember being in the workshop for this program before I bought it. And I remember thinking, I'll do anything this guy says, right? I have to make a website and I have to get onto LinkedIn. I was cussing, like, I will never effing ever go live. Like, that is impossible. Yeah. I can never do a Facebook live. I could never ever speak live. And here I am. I just did a live yesterday. They're so fun. So I needed that accountability. I needed that push. I needed to be around other people who were also struggling and had a lot of fear of being seen. I got a lot of benefit with topics that I wouldn't have even brought to the table. So people would just talk about their business, about life, stress. And there were many people talking about their relationships. And I never got coached, because you can sign up for group coaching where you're coached in the spot. I never signed up for it. Tell me about my relationship. What are my blind spots? But I ended a relationship at age 40. I had a lot of thoughts about, oh my gosh, I'm going to be 40. I'm going to be single. What does this mean? And by hearing other people get coached and their ahas, I had my breakthrough. And then I had the courage to do something scary because I had the support and I didn't feel alone. And we were all just continuously taking small steps forward, getting out of the comfort zone. I call it the stretch zone, right? It's that nervous place. Like when I did my first live, I was with a good girlfriend of mine. We were smelling essential oils. You know, I think most people would take a shot or something before they do their first live. We were smelling essential oils before I went live, and I did it. I just did it scared, right? So my life just changed so much from the support, like I said, the accountability. And I just love the fact that I got such insight even by me hearing. So I think some people who might be nervous to share in front of others, or maybe aren't ready for one-on-one coaching, you don't have to volunteer and ask questions and get coached. You can really be on the sidelines at first if that's more comfortable. So it's for other people. The other thing is I remember I met a woman in this program who had fibromyalgia. Eddie, I have never in my entire life met someone. I never did the recovery groups on Facebook. I had never met someone who had what I had. Yeah. And this was before I really understood what TMS was. I cried when I met her. I had never met anyone. And you know, I had a huge long story, 15. I never met someone who had chronic illness, who had chronic pain, and she's thriving. She's a yoga teacher. So the impact, right? Feeling seen, feeling understood, not feeling all alone is really what we're going for with this group. It's an experience, it's a feeling, it's a transformation, and you're not doing it by yourself.
What, I should have asked you this beforehand because I'm not sure if there is a perfect answer, but for people that have TMS or mind body pain or whatever, can you speak to what the, I guess, like differentiation and benefit is of somebody that is doing one-on-one coaching alone, sort of siloed, versus a shared experience with a group, TMS specifically?
Yeah. Well, I think it's just up to the individual. We always say in TMS land, there's never a right way to do it, right? So if you have the time and the financial means and you prefer one-on-one coaching, that's great. And I'm still going to do one-on-one coaching. And I'm also going to be offering different offers too with the group coaching. So you could do group coaching and that by itself, or you could do like a small upgrade where you get once a month coaching with me one-on-one. So there's a lot of different tiers and structures, but yeah, I just think it's based on the individual. But I know sometimes, especially a lot of people through this podcast and on social media, they find me in other countries, and with the exchange rate, right, and the dollar being the different currency, like it's more expensive, especially like Australia and New Zealand, the currency is much more in US dollars. So it just brings another it's more availability for people who, especially if they want to work with me, and I've never had another offer for them. So it just gives people, if you want to work with me, this is the way to do it. And the first time I run this, which Eddie said the end of April, will be the best time to do it because it'll never be this low again, this first cohort, right? So
how many people are going to be, and talk to just about like, cause when you went to the PPDA conference, which is now called the, starts with a T. What is it?
Yeah, I actually went to it 2 years ago. I didn't go to the last one, but now it's the ATNS. And we're meeting this year in Dallas, by the way. I don't know if you know.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it was kind of always in Colorado, but all right. Well, if it always, and I'm assuming it's in September again, right?
I think it's October. Okay. I have to check. Yeah.
In my, for my personal travel life, September and October are by far the worst possible months. I keep having this vision of like, as you, before we started recording, when you were rattling off some of the names of the people that you were talking to and interacting with there, I would love to just be able to bring my podcast equipment, record 20 interviews in a week and just have them evergreen and have a whole year's worth of content. But that is a tough time of the year to get away. But nevertheless,
I agree.
They were talking about groups and their experiences there. One of the things I'm curious about is when I think of a group, I think of there could be 40 people in this, right? Like, it's, to me, the thing that mm-hmm. I think of is like, you go to a small university versus a big university. Like, my wife tells me about lecture halls that she was in that had 500 students at them, right? And I think that there mm-hmm. has to be a sweet spot of people in a group in order to make it most effective. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, first of all, I'm going to keep this under 10, first of all, because that's the whole goal. And you know, and a lot of listeners know, I was a teacher and you always told me that was my secret sauce, right? Like, I know how to teach. I was teaching breathworks. I run groups a lot. I did so many breathwork classes. And at the end, we would have sharing circles where I'd be coaching people. So a couple of things about the PPBA conference, which I know now is the ATNS. First of all, Eddie, that room, well, first of all, this was interesting. It's in Boulder. So some people have the sensitivity to altitude. So some people are already coming in like me, like a little bit, is this mind body?
Yeah.
Right. And we just made so many jokes about, and traveling symptoms can come up, right? I heard some experts, they were having mind body symptoms. And it just is like no other. Dan Ratner talked about this when he gave his presentation. It's like your home. It's this feeling of being seen, of being understood, of not being judged. When I was in that room with other mind-body experts, it's just like no other experience. Everyone was saying the same thing. These are my people. I feel seen. I feel valued. Like, this is what I'm here to do in this program. So that's the feeling I want to cultivate in this group program, where you feel all these things that I felt for the first time. This was the first time the PPDA had met in person after COVID, and they were doing everything online. So the other thing is that they had a presentation with a doctor, with a psychotherapist, and with a coach, talking about groups and talking about how it's evidence-based, that there are so many advantages of doing this work. I just want to share some of them that, you know, biologically, there's co-regulation happening with the group. You're being with other people and seeing their nervous system shift. When you observe others rewire their neural pathways and manage stress, it's like the mirror neurons connect. It's safe exposure. It's camaraderie. I think the biggest thing is you don't feel alone.
Yeah.
You're not isolated. And we get so much value from hearing other people. Just like how I said, I never got coached or asked any questions about my relationship. But I got all the clarity and more, because I thought the same thing, but I never even knew I had that question. Yeah. You hear other people say it, and you can see things in other people when they're coached. It's like, oh my gosh, she's acting like a victim. Wait, I'm acting like a victim, right? Yeah. Or I'm not taking my power, or, you know, it's just invaluable. Yeah, so I think, you know, a couple other advantages too, in terms of, like, we know it works. This is evidence-based. We know that the consistency, the accountability, leads to higher behavior changes and lower depression and stress, especially when you're with peers that are going through something very, very similar. It's improved problem solving, adaptive thinking, because we're getting different perspectives. And something that's kind of unique, I think you know this, and people who work with me are very shocked. Like, I don't focus on symptoms, right? Like, I know what's going on with people. But a lot of these support groups I'm hearing, I mean, I'm not in them, but I'm hearing it's a lot of focus on, let me share my story and all the symptoms and tracking the symptoms. There's just a lot of focus on the symptoms, and people tell stories in these groups sometimes, and just even the coaching is a lot of focus on the symptoms, and that's never been my style at all. So I think that could be a relief, right? It's more about focusing on what's going to help. If you focus on symptoms all day and you're talking about them and everyone in the group's talking about it, you're going to get more of that. Tony Robbins, you get what you focus on. So in my world, we're focusing on the healing, on changing the thoughts and the rewiring of the neural pathways to bring more safety.
That's interesting, because something I've been thinking about the last 3 months is, I haven't so much lately, probably because I haven't had a lot of, maybe even in the last year, a lot of people on that are, you know, they're not therapists, they're not doctors, they're not physical therapists, they're not, like, they're just regular people with a recovery story. And that has been so much the part of this podcast, but I was starting to get emails and feedback from people that were saying that that wasn't helping them. And so people were tuning out, I think, because of too much symptom talk. Like, what do you think is, what does your coach/teacher brain say about that? Because obviously it was turning, and it was more than one. It was probably more than five, messages, or sometimes I'll go on the TMS wiki and I'll just type my name and see what people are saying recently. That was a thing that came up, was that too. Talk about that.
I just don't think it's helpful. I mean, I want to know what my clients are going through, but I have, for example, if you do one-on-one coaching with me, then we're doing accountability and check-in. So it's Monday. I've already talked to 6 people today. We're recording at 12 o'clock. I've already talked to 6 people on the app that I use. They're checking in, they're asking questions. And so I know what's going on, right? And I had a client who's focusing on the symptoms. Like, she used to track it. She's telling me like where it was this morning, and then later it shifted. It's like a lot of self-monitoring, right? It's okay, it started here, it was a level 2, and now I'm feeling it in my shoulder and it's moving. And you're just focused. It's like this hyper vigilance with symptoms and this self-monitoring, which I don't find helpful. So we're looking at like the big picture. Okay, so how do you move forward? Are you focusing on healing, and are you giving yourself thoughts of safety? Or are we focusing and we're not making changes? Because then we can get trapped into, like, even today a client was like, I'm in the freeze response. And her last coach, I guess, was emphasizing like the freeze response, which obviously is important. But if we just keep telling ourselves, I'm in the freeze response, I mean, it's mind body. Your brain is like, okay, mind body, I'm in the freeze response, right? It's the same thing if you tell yourself all day that you're in danger or your symptoms are really serious and they're not going to change. It's all mind body. It's the thoughts that you say. Your brain learns and accepts what you repeat, not what's true. So that's why the repetition, understanding the neural pathways, and changing the lens of how we look at things, right? It's the repetition that builds these beliefs. So yeah, and I think obviously what I do, as you know, is the root cause, right? If someone has one symptom versus another client has 7, it doesn't matter. We still got to go to the root layer, look at the whole person. Let's look at your stress. Let's look, see if you're feeling your emotions. What are the beliefs that you have that aren't serving you? It doesn't change too much. You know, people get focused on, oh, this is what I have, Eddie. I have pelvic pain, and I have to work with someone who's had it or is only taught that or coached that. And again, as long as you know what you're doing, which I do, I have a lot of confidence and success in this work. It doesn't matter. It can bring more safety to a person, but I mean, I've had a lot of things. I've coached on a lot of things, and I think getting caught up in it has to be the same. It's the same with the story, right? I have to find a recovery story where it's the exact same symptoms of mine. Otherwise, somehow I'm not going to heal, and that's just not true.
Yeah. One of the, when I have like a therapist or a coach on, one of the things I'll ask them about is like, and it's different for every person that they work with, but like, what are some of your favorite tools in the toolkit or prescriptive things that you may give them to do? And maybe it's journaling, or like it could be a variety of things in a group environment. That to me feels tougher. So how do you manage something like that, if there even is an element of that?
Yeah. Well, of course there's going to be group coaching, and there's going to be time for questions. And then every week I'm going to be introducing a framework, a module from my one-on-one program that works. It's evidence-based, right? And what I love is that, you know, Alan Gordon, I love his book, We All Do the Way Out. But sometimes, like, how do you do it? How do you rewire the neural pathways? How do you have self-compassion, right? It's actually me showing them step-by-step how to do something. So it's experiential. We'll be doing things together. Like, have you heard of EAET from Howard Schubiner, which is an expression therapy for feeling anger?
No, I thought it was ISTDP in his books, where he's going into really graphic details about expression. Maybe it's the same thing, but take me through it.
Yeah, so ISTDP, it's based on that. What he says and how he's taught us is ITTSP. Okay, I'm getting mixed up on that. We'll pass that one. It can be a little clunky. It can be a little complicated. So what him and Mark Lumley did is they pulled out and created EAET, which is expression awareness, emotional awareness, expression therapy. And it's an anger practice. And it was something I did with him, advanced training. And it was with Mark Lumley, like I said. And on calls, one-on-one clients will have them express their anger in a healthy way based on science, based on data, and Howard Schumacher, right? As long as I tell them this is from Howard Schumacher, pretty much people will buy in and accept it. So it's not just telling people to feel their anger. I never did journal speak on my journey. What I do is I give clients a lot of options and then they can pick what's best for them. So I'll have videos in the portal that they can access. So they have choices. If they're into journal speak, there'll be a video or someone can ask me a question about it. And then it's going to be experiential where they're actually going to do the EAET with me. Okay. Or even just see one-on-one someone do it with me. And then they're going to learn and then have a video that they can do it on their own. So yeah, it's going to be some teaching. So there'll be videos that I have, Eddie, where they can do a somatic tracking. You know, I'll kind of get the, you know me, I'm a teacher. I'll get the pulse of the group. If they want to do a live somatic tracking, happy to do that. Most people with me, since my somatic tracking is really good from the one-on-one coaching, they're like, yeah, yeah, I got that. I do that.
Yeah.
We don't need to do it live. I'd rather save the time for things that I need. So it's going to be really just me checking in with the group and what I can do to make it better. If they're loving the somatic tracking, I can do that often. If we do it once and they're good, that's kind of the, how the flow is going to be. That's why I say being in the first cohort is going to be really effective and beneficial. And like breath work, I'm going to be doing breath work with this group, which I haven't done publicly in a long time. So that's an experience you're only going to get in this group.
How long are the cohorts supposed to last?
Yeah, I'm going to do 4 months. Okay. Meeting, it's going to be 2 meetings a month plus a bonus call. So it's 3 calls a month. So it's not a huge time investment. I think less is more. You've seen that on my social media. The second, like I said, the 2 calls a month plus a bonus call. So the bonus call, for example, recovery story. So I'll have clients that have worked with me. Now, not everyone loves recovery stories. So that's why it's a bonus call, right? Or maybe the breath work is a bonus call or extra Q&A. So that way I can offer things and someone who's not interested in breath work doesn't feel like they're missing out. But everything's going to be recorded. I'm going to have different times for the call. So no matter where you are in the world, you can join.
Yeah, you'll be able to do it. Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
We've.
I was going to add something else too.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say too, I think sometimes, you know, we read a book, we listen to a podcast, it's awesome, we get the enthusiasm. But I think sometimes what can even happen with a course is that the momentum can kind of fade off, right? Well, this is interesting, by the way, I just heard this weekend, that only 20% of courses are completed. That's kind of a low number. So if someone's doing a nervous system course, like a self-paced course, nothing live.
Do you think that's due?
Like you sign up for a course, you're all the modules.
Yeah, do you think that, I mean, there's definitely like, oh, I just bought something new and I'm going to use it and do it and do it and all this stuff. What is causing the waning, do you think, of the interest level where that doesn't surprise me, by the way. I think about like,
yeah,
I just canceled my Audible subscription on Saturday because when I first bought it 3 months ago, I was like, oh, I'm definitely going to use this all the time. I was really enthusiastic about it for a weekend. And then, so what do you think it is?
I mean, I bought a course a few months ago and I haven't used it. I mean, sometimes it's just a shiny price that's on sale.
Yeah.
It was a Black Friday sale or it's a, I think mine, I don't know what it was, but it was a New Year course. So you're excited about it and you think you're going to have the time. But if only 20% of people are finishing them, or maybe people start, you know, and then they realize it's hard work. But here's the thing, there's no accountability. There's no community. And right now, yeah, people can go on to AI, ChatGPT, and get all the information they want. And anyway, but what we're missing right now is the accountability in the community, which we're going to have in my program, because I'm very much about action. All my clients have action steps. In my group, you're going to have action steps. And then we're going to have a community where I want you to check in and list it, right? Where just like I did with my first group that I was in, where I was so nervous to go live and do some of these things. And then I had people pushing me. And then I also had accountability. I'm going to do it by this time. And then we would celebrate and I would post when I actually did it. It makes a huge difference.
The ChatGPT thing is funny. I didn't prep you on this question. So if you want me to delete this part,
okay,
just tell me to edit it. I had approached a past therapist that I had interviewed. Oh, hold on. My furnace is turning on. I'm going to turn that off. I had approached a therapist that I had interviewed in the past on this podcast. She declined to be on again, not because of anything I did, but she just wasn't into it. one of the things I had talked to them about was this concept of like ChatGPT is my therapist. I see it popping up a lot. Not just in relation to like plugging or promoting a group coaching thing. What's your take on ChatGPT as my therapist?
Yeah, well, I think it's a tool. I think anything has its pros and its cons. I think it might be able to look at, you have a dream and you want to know maybe what's going on, or you have some ideas or concepts. I think it can give you some information, but it can't help you regulate. It's not going to help with the co-regulation. I don't think it's going to bring safety. I think it's one tool and it can be part of what you're doing, and it can be in a pinch or on a weekend, or it's 3 a.m. and you're awake and what do I do? Or it's a weekend. I'm not talking to Jeannie today. So I think it could be a great tool, but it's not to replace therapy. I mean, what clients tell me all the time is that my belief in their healing, even when things are a mess or even when a flare comes back, like my confidence and belief in them makes all the difference. And when you're in a room with, 10 others who also have that belief in you, that unforsaken belief and this strength in you, I just think, you can't get that. You can't get the co-regulation. You can't get the safety. When we're talking about TMS with Sarno, we're talking about emotions for decades, Eddie, that we haven't wanted to feel.
Yeah.
So you need that safety element before you can feel. And ChatGPT is not going to give you, I love Chat. She's so cute. He's so cute, a little chatty, right? But that's not the safety you're going to get to release 30, 40, 50 years of repressed emotions.
Yeah. The other thing, I mean, and this isn't so specific to like a group coaching, but one of the things I had a conflict with someone a couple of weeks ago who I'm very close to. And I said a couple of things I wish I didn't say. And as I'm talking to Gemini's my ChatGPT of choice, or my AI agent of choice, I had to tell her, hey, like, I'm going to tell you this situation. Please don't just tell me I'm right or I'm the good guy or whatever in this, because that's what AI does. And so, but I don't think a lot of people have the foresight maybe to do that. And so I think that part of, Brad Gutting and I have talked about this, that like a big issue with like TMS healing and more like therapy actually just in general is the necessity to like be challenged that sort of what you've kind of always thought about everything may not be 100% correct. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think ChatGPT likes to reassure us and tell us what we're thinking and how we're doing things, but all the time, even when I'm using it, I'll add something like, oh yeah, Jeannie, you're right. Oh yes, that is important, right? And I'm like, well, why didn't you tell that to me in the beginning, right? So, and I think there's a balance in coaching. It's being really kind and compassionate and having empathy, but really pushing someone. Someone says, no, I can't do this. I can't walk. I can't move my elbow this way. I can't. And it's me with all the confidence to remind them that this is TMS. And they can and they should. And this is what's going to help them, not ChatGPT that's going to tell you, oh, yes, you can't move it, rest. I mean, I had a coach in the beginning, Mind Body, who didn't know about TMS. She told me to rest all the time, Eddie, with my chronic fatigue, which is very kind and very gentle, but it wasn't correct.
Yeah.
So we need someone who's going to stir things up a bit. Coaching is confrontational, or it's, confronting. It's like, sorry, not confrontational, but it's very confronting, right? Because it's pushing up against the edges of things we've avoided. We've all avoided in this community, most of us, people pleasing, perfectionism, getting out of our comfort zone, feeling emotions. And then you're working with a coach and you're confronting all the things that we've been avoiding for decades. So we can't just have someone validate us like on Gemini and say, that's great or whatever. And, telling Gemini that you feel a little rumbling in your stomach. Oh, good job, Eddie. You felt all your anger. I mean, my anger, the way I teach it and, from Howard and other trainings that I've done. Again, if someone likes journal speak, they can. But I've got 3 different frameworks for feeling and releasing anger in a healthy way that are proven, that are evidence-based. So I just love that I give people options. So you can come into my world and, like I said, in the portal, there'll be different options for you. And you just try it and you see, breathwork changed my life. It's a game changer. Not everyone loves it. So you're going to try something, you're going to be open to it, you're going to get feedback, but that's cool. You can ask questions about it. You can ask the group. If everyone in the group is sharing that it's wonderful and they had such success, we might look at it differently.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. So last couple things, there is somebody somewhere that's sitting here listening to this and they've got some doubts about joining group coaching. Maybe they've done traditional therapy, maybe not even for TMS, and they just haven't gotten anywhere. What do you say to them if they've got some doubts?
Yeah, so we all have doubts. You're normal. We all have doubts about a lot of things, just a lot of things during our day. And I think it's even more important to be in a container. Tony Robbins talks about you are the sum of the five people that you hang out with the most. Have you heard that?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right? So when you're in a cohort where you're meeting your community, where you're checking in on each other and people are, it's just a different energy. People come into my world and they see a shift. We start not paying attention to all the other things. It's less is more. So this is going to really support you overcoming those doubts. And we're going to talk about them. Like I just did a recovery story that was posted and another client messaged me that she saw it. And she said, what helped her so much was hearing my client say that even up to the very end, she had huge symptoms and huge flares up until the very end. So we can get a lot from hearing other people's stories. That hit for her, that landed, because that's where she is right now. So if you've tried other things and it didn't work, remember this is a structured program. It's live coaching, it's small group, it's co-regulation, and it works. I mean, this is the exact framework and modules that I'm using with my one-on-one clients. I'm just putting it into the small group container. And I think the cost-effective aspect is wonderful, like I said, so that we can have more people join. And I, like I said, time that I can help more people, like we can help more people when we're in a group. So the time thing, hopefully we've addressed that objection because you can watch the replay. It's only 3 scheduled calls a month. Why? Because I want you to live your life and I want you to implement the tools that we're talking about. Less is more.
If people want to get in, how do they get in? Is there a sign up or where can they find it?
Yeah. So definitely come into my world. I have a new YouTube channel, yay, that I'm growing. So it's at Jeannie Colwin Coaching and on social media, Facebook and Instagram at Jeannie Colwin Coaching. So you can just send me a DM on any of those platforms and get on my wait list. So we're going to be starting this cohort the end of April and I'm going to be offering a free masterclass or workshop in the beginning of April. So stay tuned. So just again, connect with me and, you know, follow me on Instagram, then you'll know about that. So if you're on the wait list, then you'll have first dibs. You know, it's only going to have 10 people. And also there'll be special pricing if you get on the wait list. So the wait list doesn't mean you're committed. You're just going to make sure that you get the information first and that there's a spot for you.
Excellent. Hey, thank you so much for being here at Jeannie Colwin Coaching on all the socials. Thanks for stopping by again.
Yeah, so fun to be here. It's great to see you.